I am so thankful to be able to be with you today. It is great to see you. We've got a great number for the predicament that we're all in here with us today. And I'm just guessing that we've got a great number tuned in online. And I certainly am thankful for the opportunity we have to be together, whether virtual or in person, here at Azalea City. I do want you to know that there are a lot of things that I know there are people that want to do. I've been messaged and people are like, what can we do? Where can I be involved? And things like that. And man, I just can't wait until we can open up the whole playbook, if you will, and get things going back. But one thing that we can make sure we're doing as a church, as was prayed by Jason and that's been talked about already this year, is elevating God to where He needs to be. Our theme in 2021 is elevate. And I love that theme. Last week I started talking to you about raising the bar. And one thing that we're going to do, if we're going to elevate, we got to raise the bar, raise the expectations, raise the challenges, raise the whatever it may be, the conviction in our hearts that will allow us to put God where He needs to be. And God needs to be, and God is, but He needs to be on the throne in our lives. He's on the throne, but He needs to be on the throne in our lives. He needs to reign supreme. And so what I did is decided, hey, it's the first month of the new year, and so I believe we need to start with the best. I believe we need to start with the one that we need to raise and elevate, and that is Jesus Christ. Last week, we discussed exalting Christ. This week, we're going to talk about expanding Christ. And really, that's just growing Christ in our lives. I just needed to stick with the EX to be able to stick with my theme, you know. But I want to expand Christ in our life. We all should have a desire. We all should have a desire to know Jesus more intimately. That means if I grew last year, I need to grow even more this year. If my prayer life and my study life and my worship life and all those things that include Jesus Christ in them grew last year, then it needs to grow even more this year. We never need to be content in our spiritual lives. There are things we need to be content in this world, right? Paul talked about learning to be content, but not spiritually. We always want to grow and we always want to seek Jesus. In fact, the same Apostle Paul that I just mentioned that Jason read to us from in Philippians chapter 3, he read 7 and 8. I want to back up a little bit more and read 4 through 8 with you if you want to turn there in your devices or in your Bibles. Philippians chapter 3 beginning in verse 4, I'm going to read the second half of that. If anyone else thinks he may have confidence in the flesh, I more so. Listen to Paul's life now. Circumcised the eighth day of the stock of Israel, of the tribe of Benjamin, a Hebrew of the Hebrews. Concerning the law, a Pharisee. Concerning zeal, persecuting the church. Concerning the righteousness which is in the law, blameless. Let me just pause right there and say this. When it came to Paul being a good Jewish Bible student, and that's really the Torah, when it came to Paul knowing the law, he would have been valedictorian. He would have gone to a private university, an elite Ivy League school that taught the Torah, the law. He studied under the feet of Gamaliel. When it came to the pedigree of being a Jew, Paul was top of the class, according to what he says here. But listen to what else he said. Verse 7 now, what Jason read to us. But what things were gained to me, these I have counted for loss for Christ. Yet indeed I also count all things loss for the excellence of the knowledge of Christ Jesus my Lord, for whom I have suffered the loss of all things and count them as rubbish or garbage, that I may gain Christ. Now, if you look at that on the surface, Paul had obtained and elevated his life spiritually to the degree that he could as a Pharisee. He was probably on track to be some leader of the Pharisees, some high up in that sect. He was gaining knowledge. He was doing the things that the Pharisees were to do, even persecuting those who were of Christ. But in Acts chapter 9, when he saw the light on the road to persecute more Christians in Damascus, it changed Paul. When he was immersed in Christ for the remission of his sins, he, again, the scales had fallen off his eyes. He was no longer blinded to the importance of what really matters. How does that relate to us today? You were not put on this earth to be CEO. You were not put on this earth to make as much money as possible. You were not put on this earth to obtain fame and power and fortune. None of us were put on this earth to do that. If we do that, it's just a bonus, right? We're put on this earth to exalt Jesus Christ. We're put on this earth to put God at the highest place. The sovereign Lord, the supreme Lord, the awesome God that He is. In order for us to elevate Christ, in order for us to exalt Christ, we've got to expand Christ in our life. Now, the second half of what Paul said in Philippians 3 is something that's of interest to me. Paul's writing this now from a prison cell. Could have probably made a lot of money as a Pharisee, but he's writing it from a prison cell where he has nothing. He's writing a book of encouragement to the church at Philippi, but he's probably also been a Christian for about 25 years as he writes this book. And what did he say? He said, in other parts of this book, I have not yet attained, but I press on. You see, he had not yet arrived. If I've been a Christian 10 years, 20 years, 25 years, or 1 week like my little girl, okay, I've got to keep growing and keep expanding Jesus in my life. Jesus said this in John chapter 15, which would be where our text comes from today. In John 15, if you have your devices, have your Bibles, please turn with me there. And let's read together verses 1 through 11. The words of Christ, not the words of Terry. I am the true vine, and my Father is the vine dresser. Every branch in me that does not bear fruit, He takes away. And every branch that bears fruit, He prunes, that it may bear more fruit. You are already clean because of the word which I have spoken to you. Abide in me, and I in you. As the branch cannot bear fruit of itself unless it abides in the vine, neither can you unless you abide in me. If anyone does not abide in me, he is cast out as a branch and is withered. And they gather them and throw them into the fire, and they are burned. If you abide in me and my words abide in you, you will ask what you desire and it shall be done for you. By this my Father is glorified that you bear much fruit. So you will be my disciples. As the Father loved me, I also have loved you. Abide in my love. If you keep my commandments, you will abide in my love. Just as I have kept my Father's commandments and abide in His love. These things I have spoken to you, that my joy may remain in you, and that your joy may be full. Jesus talked about abiding in Him. I love the illustration that He gave that He is that true vine. in order for us as Christians today, now we're, remember, grafted into that true vine as Gentiles, but in order for us as Christians today to be able to be fruitful and produce fruit and expand Christ in our lives and expand Christ in our neighborhoods and expand Christ in the church, we've got to tap into His root source. If we have not tapped into His root source, then all the things that we're doing is for naught. We'll be cut off. We'll wither up. We'll be burned. And no one wants that. So what do we do? According to what Jesus taught us, not what I taught us, what Jesus taught us here in John 15, 1 through 11, what do we do to expand Christ? How do we tap into that source more and more to grow Him, to elevate Him in our lives and to the world? I'm glad you asked, because we're going to talk about five quick things this morning that will help us as we go through and expand Christ in our lives. So number one, if I want to elevate Christ, if I want to expand Christ, according to Christ, I must abide in Him, abide in His Word, and abide in prayer. Jesus in John 15, verse 7, said these words, "If you abide in Me, and My words abide in you, you will ask what you desire, and it shall be done for you." If you see that verse, He said, abide in Me, My words in you, and then you can ask in My name. You see, that's truly the definition of expanding Christ. If it comes down to it, and I like simple, when it comes down to it, there are three things, there are five total we're going to talk about, but three things that we really need to get that all this will branch off of. Jesus has got to live in me. He's got to grow in me. And I've got to grow in His Word, and I've got to grow in prayer. That answers a lot of things in life, folks, if not all. Grow in Christ, grow in the Word, grow in prayer. Let's talk about growing in Christ real quick. That means He must elevate or expand in our lives every single day. We live in a time when there is chaos, but there's a lot of structure to Jesus. There's a lot of structure to God. There's a lot of calming of the nerves, right? What did He say? He said that He will light our path. He will be a lamp unto our feet. Why would we try to tackle all this craziness alone? Why would we try to tackle it on our own? We can't. We've got to abide in Him. Now, He's got to grow in us every day. If you want something to grow, what do? You feed it. We've got a little puppy at home. And she's a sweet little puppy. She loves to eat. In fact, we even bought a higher bowl so that our big dog, Harley, can, they eat the same food, but of course, Darcy eats a lot less. But we put a higher bowl up so that Darcy can't get it. She's figured out a way, if you leave that laundry door open, to get her whole face almost in that bowl, she'd get in it. Why? She likes to eat. Why? She's growing. I've got a pretty big 13-year-old kid. He likes to eat. Why? He's growing. Now, that's no excuse for me. I'm probably not growing anymore. But I do like to eat. But the point I'm trying to say is, what do? Plants, we feed them. Fish, we feed them. Dogs, we feed them. Cats, we feed them. Humans, we feed them. If we are not feeding ourselves Jesus Christ, we're not going to grow. So He's got to abide in me. His compassion, His love, His mercy, His grace, His servanthood, His knowledge, all these things I've got to feed daily. It isn't a remedy to life's problems to pull Jesus off the shelf when things aren't going well. I do not take headache medicine every day. You know why? Because I don't get a headache every day. But when I have a headache, I'll go and pull the headache medicine off the shelf and take some, right? That's not how Jesus Christ works. He doesn't work by you pulling Him off the shelf when you've got a problem. He doesn't work when we've got struggles. Oh, let me go pull Jesus up. No, He's got to work every day in our lives. And we've got to feed Him every day. See, what happens is when we take Him off the shelf, when it's convenient for us, we put Him back on the shelf when life is back on track. It'd be okay today if you took Him off the shelf. But it's not okay today if we put Him back on the shelf. Today, if today is the day for you to take Jesus off the shelf and grow Him in your lives, that's great. But don't let Him ever get back on the shelf. That's not elevating Him in our lives. That's not expanding Him in our lives. You see, abiding in Christ is a lifelong relationship with Him. We're in it for the long haul. We talk about and we hear about personal relationship with Jesus Christ. That's absolutely right. It's got to be a personal relationship that we must feed every single day for the rest of our lives. So what does it mean to abide in His Word? Why is it a chore? And I'm not saying it is for everyone. But why is it a chore to study the Bible? Oh, well, it's hard to understand. That excuse is not an excuse anymore. There are so many versions that are plainly written. And listen, we can get in the version debate all you want, but listen, I study out of a very plain, I preach out of the New King James. Why? That's where most of my memorization work is. But if you want to tell me it, such and such version has errors in it, I can tell you such as all of them have not errors that affect our salvation. But I'm sitting here telling you, it's okay to get a modern version as long as it is respectful to God. If it's going to help you study, study. Read it. Study it. Listen to it. I listen to it every day in my truck. It's me and the whoever's reading it off of the Bible app. And I love that time because I can't not survive if I do not grow the Word in my life. My faith will fail. You see, hearing, faith comes by hearing, hearing by the Word of God. It should not be a chore to study God's Word. If we want to know more about Him, we must study Him. There are a lot of people that spend a lot of time studying things that at the end of the day do not matter. There was a point in my life when I was, man, I ate, slept, and drank baseball. I could name every MVP, every Rookie of the Year, American League and National League, every Cy Young winner, every, you go down the list, probably Gold Glove winner. And for years I could do that. I remember Michelle and I started dating and you know, I don't know, that'd come up in our conversations and she'd say, you got a lot of useless knowledge. She was right. She was right. What matters to us, we're going to study it. Jesus Christ better matter. His Word better matter. What about abiding in prayer? Is there any doubt that prayer works? No doubt. No doubt. Why would we not go to war and fight that war on our knees? When people say, oh, what's the best thing you can do? Well, pray. Sometimes I think we feel that's inadequate. But that's the most powerful thing we can do if we are a righteous person. Because James said, the effectual fervent prayer of a righteous man avails much. We must be people of prayer. It's our open communication to God. You think about it. The God of the universe now, the Supreme, the one who, and we're studying Christian evidences and apologetics in our Sunday morning class, and Jason's doing an awesome job. Okay? Great class this morning. But when we look at all these evidences of God out there, we're reminded how awesome He is, how powerful He is, and guess what? He's given us a direct line to Him through Jesus Christ. All we got to do is do it. Sometimes we think that's a chore. To talk to the God of the universe? It's not a chore. We need to pray about everything and not worry about anything. I could talk all day about those, but let's move on. So number one, abide in Him. Jesus' words, not mine. Abide in Him, abide in His Word, abide in prayer. Number two, to expand Christ in our lives, we must live to glorify the Father by bearing much fruit. John chapter 15, verse 8, by this my Father is glorified that you bear much fruit, so you will be my disciples. Justin, you are the tree expert. Y'all know that? Justin's a tree expert. He's a forester. And you've heard him use it, and I love it. I am not a tree expert. But I do know this. When a peach tree is producing peaches, I know that's a peach tree. When an apple tree is producing apples and they're on the limbs, I know that's an apple tree. Satsuma, oranges, hey, try to stump me if it's got producing fruit, right? No kidding. Everybody can do that. Well, guess what? That's what others should be saying about us. They should be saying, hey, I know that person's a Christian. How do you know that person's a Christian? Did you not see the fruit they were producing? You see, if a tree's not producing fruit, I'm not real good at understanding what it is, except like pine trees and oak trees. Okay, I got them. But understand, if a tree's not producing fruit, I'm not real good at doing and saying, hey, that's a such and such tree. If I'm not producing fruit, people have a hard time figuring out if I'm a Christian or not. See, that's expanding Jesus Christ by producing fruit. That's glorifying God by producing fruit. Are we expanding? Are we producing? What? We're going to produce fruit. We got about three choices. We're going to produce the fruit of the Spirit, love, which branches off of that, joy, peace, patience. You understand? We're gonna produce junk fruit, or we're gonna do nothing. Which category am I in? I'm producing the fruit of the Spirit, I'm producing junk, or I'm producing nothing. Two of the three of those, that 67%, is not very good. Number three, if I want to expand Christ, what do I need to do? I must abide in His love, John 15, verse 9. As the Father loved me, I also have loved you. Abide in my love. Isn't that the greatest motive for why we should want to grow closer to Christ? He loves us with infinite, inexhaustible love. He never grows tired of loving us. Oh, there's some things that are temporal that I grow tired of. Loving. Maybe my college football team, I grow tired of loving them. You know? Maybe you love yard work, eventually you grow tired of that. Maybe you love what, we grow tired of that. But we should never grow tired of loving Jesus Christ. He never grows tired of loving us. Isn't that amazing? Paul was so convicted by it that he wrote Galatians 2:20 that we turned into a song, I've been crucified with Christ. It's no longer I that live, but Christ lives in me. And the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by faith in the Son of God who loved me. How much, Paul? He gave Himself for me. Wow. Wow. You see, I can say I love you today, but the list of people that I'm going to stand in line voluntarily and die for is not very long. Same with me, right? You can say you love me today, but hey, when it comes down to it, hey, Terry needs you to die for him. I'm I'm going to back up a little bit. Jesus Christ said, I don't care if he's a filthy, nasty, awful sinner. I'll die for him. I love him that much. If I am going to expand him, and this ought to be easy, then I've got to abide in his love. Abiding in Christ's love is absolutely essential if we want a genuine, fresh, and fruitful Christian life. You see, if our experience of His love fades, then His commandments become burdensome. Serving Him becomes a struggle. And then we'll be vulnerable to all sorts of temptations by Satan himself. Number four. If I'm going to expand Christ, if I'm going to elevate Christ in my life and others' lives, then I must obey His commandments. Verse 10, John 15. If you keep my commandments, you will abide in my love, just as I have kept my Father's commandments and abide in His love. There are people that do not convert over and become followers of Christ because they think it's just a bunch of rules and commandments. You know what? If we look at it that way, then we've got some kind of priority wrong. Ultimately, He just gave us two. Now, there's a lot to those two, but He just gave us two. What did He say? He said, love the Lord your God with all your heart, mind, soul, and strength. And the second is likened to it, love your neighbor as yourself. On these two, hang all the law and prophets. It's not a chore to keep His commandments if He's properly elevated in my life. Well, that worship just gets in the way. Really? Then Christ isn't where He needs to be. I said this for years now. The way a lot of folks look at it is this. Here's the Cagle family. Here's Terry's life. And I'm going to stick it right here in the ground. The Cagle family, Terry's life, your life, put it, you make it personal for you. Okay, here I am. Now, God, I need you to revolve around me. You see, because I got a lot of things going on, God. Bible study, sometimes that's hard because I got a lot of internet sites I like to look at. I got a lot of TVs, I got a shows I got to binge watch. And so when it's convenient, God, I'll get you to stop. I'll get the Bible out. I'll get my device out and I'll read it. Same with prayer. Same with worship. Folks, if that's the way we're living our lives, then we got to change. Because what God said is, you better stick the cross in the ground and revolve around it. That's expanding Christ. It is not a chore to worship. It is not a chore to go to Sunday school. It is not a chore to read our Bibles. It's not a chore to pray. It's not a chore to send a card. It's not a chore to check on someone. It's not a chore to stay after and help with Sunday afternoon for the master, or stay after and help with Lads the Leaders Bible Bowl or scripture reading or whatever it is. It's not a chore if Christ is where He's supposed to be in my life. Didn't get a lot of amens there? That's okay. Yeah, I'm not asking for them, but I hope I challenge you. Finally, this morning, if I'm going to expand Christ in my life, according to Jesus, we must stay focused on His joy. John 15, verse 11, these things I have spoken to you, that my joy may remain in you, and that your joy may be full. You see, obedience usually doesn't mean joy. To my children, go straighten this room up, go clean this room up. Oh, yes, Daddy, thank you. Thank you so much for saying I get to clean my room today. Yes! It's usually not the way it works. At least in my house. I won't go into any details because my kids are at age where I embarrass them. But that's how we are, right? Obedience usually doesn't mean joy. We may think, oh, well, I have to, or I'm going to get in trouble, or there's a bunch of rules or demands, or I mean, you know, whatever. But when Christ is full and elevated in our lives, following Him, serving Him, it's all about joy. The word joy in John's Gospel has only been used one time until you get to John 15, and it was used in John 3:29 by John the Baptist himself. But in the upper room, as Jesus faces the cross, He uses it 7 times. Twice here, then in John 16:20, 21, 22, 24, and John 17:13. All these let's help people, all these heal people, all these walk on waters, all these things that happen, John 1 through 15, never used except by John the Baptist one time. But when he faced the cross, John the Apostle recorded it 7 times by Jesus Christ. Isn't that why the Hebrew writer reminded us? For the joy that was set before him, he endured the cross. It's time to make a decision. 2021, we want it to be a great year. I don't care what the country state is. I don't care who's in the office. I don't care who's in the whatever. Do you want to have joy? Do you want to change your life? Don't look to man to do it. Look to Jesus Christ. Today, you can allow Him into your life. You can open your heart. You can open your mind. You can open your soul. And you can be immersed in water. Hey, we've had 2 the last couple weeks. Let's keep it going. Today, if you need to become a Christian, let's do that. But if you're here today and you need to expand Him, you need to get Him right, you need to change, we can do that too. And let's all do it right now. Together, we stand and sing.